Good morning.
Good morning.
It's very good to be with you. And thank you, Robbie, for helping to focus all of our minds, waking us up. It's maybe a good illustration there. Notice how the lines changed and the music changed, and we kept singing what we thought should have been there anyway. We weren't paying attention, were we? And so Robbie said, "See, I gotcha. So let's open our books and focus." He did it on purpose. No, very glad that we get to be together, been able to pray together and sing together. And now we'll spend a few moments with the Word of God open and have our hearts and our minds open as we consider the things that have been revealed in the pages of Scripture for us. What I want us to do for the next few Sundays as we're together is we're going to be looking at snapshots in the life of Christ, is what we're calling it. You'll be turning in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be coming back to Matthew 1 later, but go to 1 Timothy 3 for right now, and we'll read from this in a moment together. What we're going to see here in 1 Timothy 3 is there are certain things that Paul highlighted, certain things that the early church emphasized, certain things that were really a key component to being a follower of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to talk about snapshots from the life of Christ, look at different things that were happening in his life that we need to give thoughts to and emphasis to. For many of us, photos are extremely important. Thinking about things that have happened, I know that I've heard from others. Some people have said when they've lost everything in a fire, what they cared about more than anything else were things like photos. Not the expensive equipment that may have been in the house, but those cherished little pieces of paper. I realize that's a foreign thing also. It used to be the case that a guy could pull out his wallet, and you guys up here probably don't know what this is. You'd drop out, all these different pictures, right? You remember those things? Now we just are like, here, look, here's all the pictures I've got. So it's a good thing. You can put pictures in the cloud and they can't get burned up or destroyed in a flood. We had tons of my mom and dad's pictures lost in a flood. Those big old books put together and they're just gone. So we care about our photos because they connect us to something that's happened in our lives that we cherish. We thought enough about this moment. We thought enough about this person to take a picture of them because we wanted to remember that smile. We wanted to remember that scene. We wanted to remember it forever, and so we took a picture. Well, Scripture gives us some pictures of Jesus that we need to forever and ever remember. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and let's begin reading at verse 14. I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. So let me pause for a minute and emphasize something to you here. Paul is telling us a proper understanding of who Jesus is going to have an impact on how we live. If you truly know who Jesus is, if you truly know what Jesus desired, if you truly know what Jesus has commanded, if you truly know Jesus, it's going to make a difference in the way you think, speak, and act. I'm writing to you so that you will know how you ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. And he says, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness." He says, here is our common confession. Here are some things. Here's a short little list of some things that we as the church collectively confess together. We'll read them in just a second, but I'm setting you up. I want you to understand what he's saying. Here's what we confess. Here's what we say as a Christian, as a member of the body of the Christ, of Christ. Here are the things that we confess. And by confessing these things, acknowledging these things, believing these things, it makes a difference in how we live. You see the flow? I'm writing so you'll know how to live and act in the church. And the way you live and act in the church is based upon this confession. And here's the confession. He, Jesus Christ, that great God, He was manifested in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among nations, beloved and believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. See those things He's just listed there? Here's what we confess. As a body of believers, here are things that we are drawn to, that we believe, that we uphold. In fact, it says that we are the pillar. We're the buttress of the truth. We are collectively. It's not just one individual standing up and saying, okay, here's everybody, here's what you got to believe. It's us together looking at the Word of God, recognizing what's been revealed specifically about Jesus, and then we go out and live differently because of it. And so we're going to look at snapshots of Jesus Christ, things that He went through based upon this passage, manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the Spirit, eventually raised up, ascending to heaven. So we're starting here. The first snapshot is the idea that Jesus Christ was born of a woman, manifested in the flesh, it says there. We confess, we believe, we are changed and we are different. We live differently because we confess that Jesus Christ was manifested in the flesh. So, we're going to be thinking this morning about the birth of Jesus Christ and what all that means, what all it entails. It certainly goes so far beyond Bethlehem. It reaches so far back into the past before Bethlehem. It reaches so far into the future beyond Bethlehem. It's so much more, so much deeper, so much more amazing. And so let's ask this question. What was the purpose? What was the purpose of the birth of Jesus Christ? Why is it that as Paul was reminding Timothy and the others here, that as you go out into your daily life, you live differently because one of the things that you confessed is this. Christ was manifest in the flesh. Here's the first thing. Number one, the birth of Jesus Christ connects not just us, but connects everything to the past. Jesus was born in the flesh. Jesus was born to connect us to the past, okay? From the time of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, you can go all the way back to the beginning. Look at Genesis 3, 15. It's a passage you know. Ever since Genesis 3, we have known, we have been anticipating that one is coming who's going to defeat the deceiver. Because that's what's happened there in Genesis 3, is it not? The deceiver has come along and has deceived, pulled Adam and Eve into a place where they didn't want to be. Well, they went willingly, they ate, but he deceived them. He'll be called the deceiver again and again. And in Genesis 3, we're told the deceiver will be defeated. You move forward a few chapters to Genesis chapter 12, and we're told there in Genesis 12, verse 3, so we've been anticipating, we have known ever since Genesis 12 that one is coming who's going to bless the entire world. Oh, we can't wait. When is this one going to be here? When is this one who's going to destroy the deceiver going to arrive? When is the one who's going to bless the whole world going to arrive? Well, in a passage like Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, this was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's been the plan from before the foundation of the earth. It's been the plan of God. It's been the plan of heaven to save all men through Jesus, this one who would leave the glory of heaven, Philippians 2, come to earth, be treated shamefully, die cruelly, be raised victoriously in order for you and me to have hope, in order for you and me to overcome those things that are destroying us. If you look in Matthew chapter 1 now, where Scott read for us a few moments ago, if you'll even go back before that, all the way up to verse 1, Matthew 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And you drop down a few verses. Verse 16, Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who's called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations. David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. The deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. So here in Matthew chapter 1, as Matthew opens up his gospel and begins readying you and me to accept things, to hear things like the Sermon on the Mount, as he's preparing us to hear things like the fact that there's only a narrow way that leads to life and there's a broad way that leads to destruction, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, in order to prepare us for those kinds of truths, to prepare us for something like in Matthew 25, 46, that there is a place of eternal joy, but there's also a place of punishment. To prepare us for those things, he says, all of these things come about, all of these things are known to be true, all of these things are reality because of Christ. And he's the one that we've been waiting on. He's the king from the family of David. He's the one that shares in the promises and fulfills the promises, going back to Genesis 12 and Abraham. He's the one who'll destroy the deceiver, looking at Genesis 3. He's the one that fulfills prophecy. This is no myth. This is no fairy tale. This is history. This is real life. This is the real world. Jesus connects all of those dots. The birth of Jesus Christ connects and continues the story that had begun so long ago. The people, the Jews, had been looking for and longing for the Christ to come and deliver them. And he was finally here. All that waiting, all that praying, all of that time, all that journey is finally here. The birth of Jesus Christ was about connecting us to the past. It was about revealing the eternal God to us. I want you to consider these comments. In John chapter 1 at verse 18, it says this in the first part, no one has ever seen God. In John chapter 14 at verse 8, Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Here's the point. Devout, righteous, godly people want to know what God is like. What's God like? We want to know about the Creator. We want to know about the one who's always been and always will be. We want to know about God. And so Jesus comes, if you will, crashing into our world to reveal the eternal God to us. John 1:18, it said, no one's ever seen God. But you know what it continues to say? But Jesus Christ has made him known. John 14, verse 8, Philip says, show us the Father. But then John 14, 9, Jesus says, look, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how in the world can you say, show us the Father? He's come to connect us to the past. Jesus showed us what divine power was all about. When he healed the sick, when he raised the dead. I mean, just read John 11 and look at there as he calls out to that tomb and has Lazarus come walking out of it. If that is not power, I don't know what is. When Jesus just speaks, he says, silence! And those waves that had been so big, they were ripping boats apart. Waves that had been so big, it was terrifying men who spend their lives on the sea. And he speaks and says, silence. When the storms are calmed, he was powerful. He showed us what godly, divine power was like. He showed us what compassion was all about. When he would feed people who were hungry. When he would teach people who were lost. When he would lead people who needed direction and purpose. He showed us, he demonstrated compassion. He also showed us what zeal for the Father was all about. Remember in a place like John chapter 2 where he goes and starts turning over tables. So angry he makes a whip. Doesn't just find a whip, he makes a whip and begins running people out. He tells us in Matthew 25 about the fact that there's coming a day where I will separate the sheep from the goats. He shows us what zeal for the Father is all about. So what he's doing here, it's like Romans 11:22. In Jesus we have illustrated both the goodness and the severity of God. I'm guessing that there's times that you and I, we've been sort of like Philip. We know the Bible stories, right? We've been to vacation Bible school. We've been to Bible class. And so we know the history. We know about what some of these people have done. We know about what happened. But we still feel distant. We still feel separated from God. We still feel alienated from the one who made all things. We see it's in Christ. It's in Christ that we're not only connected to the past, but we're connected to eternity past. It's in Christ that we finally get plugged into and revealed to Almighty God. The birth of Jesus connects us to the past. It's just that powerful and just that important. But let me make a note here. Because we are concerned about connecting our minds and our hearts to this event in the past. We are. We should be. But let me say this with the sensitivity that I have, which may not be much with all that I have. It may sound strange to some, but as we look through the pages of the New Testament, and as we consider the history of the early church, the idea of what we know as Christmas is an unknown concept. The first Christians did not celebrate what we call Christmas on December 25th. It wasn't until like the 4th century that began to be an item. No prophet ever commanded such. No apostle ever commanded such. And I'm guessing it's probably been your thought somewhere along the way. Now, why don't you folks make a bigger deal out of Christmas? Why don't you folks do something more? What are you afraid of? Don't you love Jesus? Don't you think you ought to raise awareness of Jesus as the Christ? Absolutely. It's the duty of every single Christian to make much of Jesus. It's the duty of every single Christian to glorify, magnify, honor the name of Jesus. It's the duty of every single Christian to live in such a way that Jesus is magnified and the Father is glorified. It's the duty of every Christian to spread the gospel, to tell of the good news of what Jesus Christ has done. We must be all about raising awareness of who Jesus really is. That must be part of our makeup, our DNA of who we are. I am about sharing Jesus with others. I am about glorifying and magnifying the name of Jesus with others. And that's not limited to time, certainly not limited to a Sunday. It's about every moment of my day. It's how I breathe in and breathe out. It's because of what Jesus has done for me. It must be understood. If there was no special event in Bethlehem, there would have been no special event in Jerusalem. No Bethlehem, no Calvary. It's that plain. If there had been no manger, there'd have been no cross. No manger, no cross. We get it. But it's also understood that the biblical emphasis is on the cross and resurrection. If you'll just take the time, just start flipping through the book of Acts sometime and listening to those sermons preached. Those sermons center around the idea that Jesus Christ died and rose again. He died and he rose again. It's what it says again and again. No gospel neglects the cross or the resurrection. Strangely, Mark and John both just jump right into the life of Jesus Christ and his ministry. But more than just the biblical emphasis, I want you to note that it's the biblical directives, the biblical commands that we are to commemorate. We are to celebrate the first day of the week. Every first day of the week that the tomb is empty. The answer is not sinister. It's simple. We are in no way, shape, form, or fashion seeking to go back 300 years to the days of the Puritans where they did things such as, if you even mention Christmas, we're throwing you in jail, buddy. That was reality. Jail time. We connect to this historical event by coming to know the living God through Jesus Christ. It's a connection that's to be made continually. It's a connection that's to be made day by day, and it's to be celebrated weekly as we gather around the table, as we remember the one who came into the world because he so deeply loved us. As Jimmy said in his prayer a little bit ago, we approach Jesus. this God that we don't physically see at this moment, but that we see through and understand and know through Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that every day. Specifically, we celebrate that every first day of the week. The birth of Jesus connects us to the past. But secondly, I want to emphasize the fact that the birth of Jesus connects us to the present. Christ came into the world to change the way we live right now. And I'm talking to a 21st century audience, not just a first century audience, a 21st century audience. Jesus Christ came into the world to reorient the way that we think. He came to fix the way that we view life. He came to change the way we go about our daily business, our daily habits, our daily routine. Because here's the point. It says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, He shall be called Emmanuel. Emphasis on the L, it's God. God with us. He's still with us. He's still with us. Jesus promised, Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. He's still Emmanuel. He's still with us. Our today can be changed because He's there. Our today can be changed because He's still Emmanuel. Our feelings of isolation, our feelings of loneliness, they have a very real and a very personal answer in Jesus the Christ. He came so that we can be and think and live differently right now. Because if you are struggling today, as many of us are, you should know Jesus came to this earth in order to fix your today. The things that you are struggling with, the things that are crushing you, He came to fix your today. Specifically, He came to put away sin. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, He appeared in order to take away sin. Jesus came to this earth in order to take away sin. Matthew 1, 21, He'll be called Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. John 1, 29, Behold, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Our today can be changed because we can do away with, because we can overcome the past through Jesus Christ. The sins of yesterday can be tossed into the sea, never to be heard from again. That's what Micah chapter 7, verse 19 says. And I love that imagery. The same Lord and Savior who can say to the seas that are raging, be still and they're calm, is the same one that His blood takes our sins and throws them out into the depths of those seas and they sink down, never to be seen again. 7:19. Dying in sin for you and me is a very real possibility. Luke 13:3, John 8:24. Jesus on a number of occasions said, you will die in your sins if. But you see, He came to fix that. That doesn't have to be our reality. Jesus came so we don't have to fear those kinds of things. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. You can say it this way, God so loved the world that Jesus Christ was born of a woman. He gave His only begotten Son. He was born of a woman and came to this earth, lived, and died. He gave Him on the cross. So whoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. All those who struggle with sin don't have to be afraid of sin. All those who've been destroyed, knocked down, crippled by sin can be made whole again because of Jesus Christ. He came to change today. I wonder if you are sitting in a place of turmoil today, knowing that you are still dealing with, you are still carrying your sins. You're walking bent over. You're walking slowly because you're carrying the weight of your sins. You're carrying the weight of the things that you've done, said, the places you've gone, the places you've refused to go, you're carrying these things with you. Jesus Christ was born. Jesus Christ came to this earth so that your today can be different. He said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent of your sins, you shall die in your sins. You've got an opportunity this morning, granted by the God of heaven, to bring your sins and lay them at His feet. Have that weight lifted off of you. If repentance and confession is what you are called to do, you have that opportunity. Now don't get your books out yet. I'm not done. See, some of you kind of like fidgeting. I'm not done yet. This is invitation sounding. This isn't the invitation. I see you out there. Don't do that. I can see you. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel. You've never even come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. You've said prayers before. You've been in Bible classes before. You've been a good moral person for a long, long time. But you've never been united with Jesus in His death and resurrection. And a place like Romans 6 makes it crystal clear. You're united with Him in His death and resurrection in the waters of baptism. That's where your new life begins. That's where He says your new birth begins. John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. Unless you are born again, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you shall not see the kingdom. So maybe it's the case today, you didn't realize just how connected, just how important the birth of Jesus Christ was to you in your life right now today. Because the sins that you're struggling with, the things that are causing you knots in your stomach, the things that are keeping you from sleeping at night, the things that are keeping you from talking to somebody that you know you ought to be talking to and loving and hugging, the things that are keeping you connected to your brothers, things that are keeping you from being connected to God, Jesus Christ came to deal with that. And if you'll come to Him in humble submission, be united in His death and resurrection, you can live a new life also, and the present can be changed. And that brings us to the last thing. The birth of Jesus Christ also came to secure the future. His becoming flesh was about this need to shed blood and die. He was born of a woman so that we could be saved. He was born of a woman so that He could go to a cross. He was destined to shed blood. He was born of a woman so that He could walk out of a tomb. He was destined to conquer death. That's what the Bible says. Look at this with me in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, beginning at verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same thing. He was born of a woman just like all the rest of us were. Why? That through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. In the same book, go over to chapter 10 and notice verse 19, Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places, how? By the blood of Jesus Christ, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh. He changed the future. He changed what lays out there in front of us because He was born of a woman. The birth of Jesus Christ secures and changes forever the future. Our future can absolutely not be gray, not be unknown, but our future can absolutely be secure. Why? Because the Son of God came to earth. We don't have to fear tomorrow because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We don't have to fear eternity because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So the question is this morning. Do you know this Jesus? Do you confess this Jesus? Remember, we started all of this morning together by looking at 1 Timothy 3. And as Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, you're going to behave and live a certain way in the church. But you confess certain things. And one of the things that you must confess is that Christ was manifested in the flesh. The Son of God took on flesh. Jesus was born of a woman. Have you been bought by the blood that Jesus shed? Do you have the hope that Jesus offers because He walked out of the tomb? Something miraculous took place in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And that miraculous event took place so that you and I could be part of a changed today and a secure tomorrow. Do you live confidently today? Are you ready for tomorrow? It all hinges on what you think about and know about Jesus the Christ, born of woman in Bethlehem. The birth of Jesus changes everything. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, come to know this one who left the glory of heaven for you, died for you, and conquered death to give you hope. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?